Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, we're seeing something very interesting taking place on the political scene, and specifically on the political scene related to the subject of abortion. When you think about the political race that is currently taking place in both the GOP and also in the Democratic Party, we see that many evangelicals, many people refuse to vote for Hillary Clinton. In fact, there's now a Never Hillary bumper sticker that's circulating as well. And one of the primary reasons for that is because of Hillary Clinton's stand on abortion. She is pro-abortion. It used to be said that she used to say statements like abortions need to be, legal, rare, and so forth. She has dropped that now. She doesn't use that type of statement because they felt that even that type of a statement was demeaning to those who had decided to get an abortion. But what has taken place now is because that was the showstopper for many people, and it certainly is for me, when you talk about being that you're pro-abortion, that you advocate abortion as a solution to an unwanted pregnancy, to me, you have just disqualified yourself from holding any public office. I wouldn't vote for a dog catcher if he was involved in, if he was an advocate for abortion. To me, it's just unconscionable that somebody looking at a situation of an unwanted pregnancy says something like this: well, here's the solution to it. Why don't we just kill the baby as being a solution? That's basically what is taking place when you cut through all the muster and you get to the core issues of what is taking place. Basically, is what is being said is the solution to the problem, quote unquote, of an unwanted pregnancy is, let's just take the life of the innocent person in the situation, the baby. Let's just murder the child, and that will be the solution for the issue. And that has gone all the way now to the point of it being embraced, and not just as an unnecessary evil that needs to take place, but as a right, a privilege. It was applauded at the DNC convention recently, when the woman mentioned that she had an abortion. People actually applauded the idea of having an abortion. We've come a long way, my friend. And so now what's happening, the latest battle then that is taking place is an effort to try to remove or to blunt the edge of the force of that argument not to vote for Hillary Clinton because she is pro-abortion, and then to vote for Donald Trump because he is pro-life, and the GOP platform is strongly pro-life as well. And so what is underway now is to try to whittle away at that argument and that support by redefining what it means to be pro-life. Let me say, first of all, I thought that Wayne Grudem, in his article the other day, talked about just what would happen under a Hillary Clinton presidency and how damaging it would actually be for the pro-life movement and so forth. You know, the pro-life numbers, it's rightly stated that they have gone down, but that's because of all of the effort that has been done at the state level by pro-life advocates and the battles that have been fought and won by so many of the pro-life advocates. All of that would be erased by a Clinton presidency if she was able to appoint certain justices to the Supreme Court that had a similar pro-abortion viewpoint. It would tilt the scale, and all of those things would be lost. Millions upon millions of babies would die. That's not an overstatement. That's not a hyperbole. Millions of more children would die under a Clinton presidency than would die under a Trump presidency. That's just the facts of the situation. And so they're trying to blunt that. And the way that that is trying, that their effort to blunt that is to redefine the term pro-life. See, this is how the game is played. Just redefine the term. And so what they're doing, and when I say they, I'm going to talk about a so-called evangelical blogger here, a very popular one, Rachel Held Evans. She claims pro-lifers should vote for Hillary Clinton. So I say they, I say people that gravitate towards the name evangelical, although I think she has actually separated herself from it, and I've separated her from that title evangelical long before that. They still put her in that category to try to say, hey, here's one of us that doesn't believe like us, you know, and so forth. Though she's been separated from that for a long time. But it's not just her. We also then get, there's a few people now in the Together for the Gospel group, like Tabiti Anyabwile. And most recently, it was one of the guys blogging for him at his blog, one of the guest bloggers and a member of his church. You know, they have been making this same claim that is made by Rachel Held Evans here. And so we're Christianity Today just published an article not that long ago. And in that article, they seem to be saying the same thing. The article was posted in a way that made it appear to be a pro-life article. But in the article, it talked about these same talking points about how we need to expand the definition of what it means to be pro-life. And if you expand that definition, you could see that there's very little difference between the GOP and the Democratic Party, between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, between, you know, people that say that they're pro-life and just focus on legislation about pro-life, and those who are truly pro-life who focus on it as a much broader issue. This is a liberal, progressive talking point that has now been adopted by those who have associated themselves with evangelicals and are now writing to evangelicals as well. So here's the article. This one actually appears in LifeNews.com, and the headline says, evangelical blogger Rachel Held Evans claims pro-lifers should vote for Hillary Clinton. The article then goes on to say this, a popular evangelical Christian writer posted a controversial blog on Tuesday arguing that pro-lifers should vote for pro-abortion Hillary Clinton. An author and blogger, Rachel Held Evans, calls herself pro-life. She says she has never publicly endorsed a presidential candidate until now. Evans changed that when she endorsed Clinton on Tuesday. In a lengthy blog post, Evans made several arguments for her case. In a nutshell, she claims that Clinton's social policies on child care, health care, poverty, and contraception would reduce abortion rates more than pro-life legislators ever will. While I've written in the past, she said, about feeling caught between pro-life and pro-choice camps, I've never used my platform to endorse a presidential candidate. But as so many others have said, this year is different. Knowing many of my pro-life friends feel torn between voting for an unpopular but highly qualified pro-choice candidate in Hillary Clinton and an incompetent narcissist who poses a unique threat to the American democracy and Donald Trump, I like to make a proposal. You should vote for Hillary Clinton. Now, let's just stop right there, right? I can't just let this go as I go by it. So first of all, she's not really evangelical in the way that you and I think about evangelical. She, you know, is spoken about in those terms, although herself says that she had left being evangelical. She didn't like that term. She didn't believe in what evangelical stood for. Typically, it meant Bible believing. More and more, she denies what the Bible itself says and then just talks about, you know, what people think in a more popularist viewpoint rather than what a biblical stance on various issues. In this particular case, it's shown in it's glaring here on the surface that she doesn't hold a true Christian evangelical position on abortion. Number one, let me say that. Secondly, here she says that, you know, that this is a new thing for her, but then she makes the claim that she's always been kind of a middle of the road position between those that called themselves pro-life and those that were pro-abortion. She said that, you know, she always found herself in between that. Well, I never did as a believer. I never found myself torn between those two things. The Bible says clearly, thou shalt not kill. And the Lord Jesus Christ expounded upon that, and he changed, thou shalt not murder. It's the commandment speaking about the taking of innocent life, the unlawful taking of life. And that's what abortion is. It's not a gray area. I've never been in a quandary between pro-life and pro-abortion people. It is very clear what the Christian position is. It is murder. And so then she goes on here to say that she was, you know, caught between the pro-life and pro-choice camps and so forth. And now she makes this statement. Hillary Clinton is a competent person, you know, a difference between to endorse a presidential candidate, but she feels a highly competent person in Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump. I don't know, you know, what she's basing that competency on. I mean, tell me, what was the success story from her stint as being the Secretary of State? I can't point to any. I can point to a lot of trouble around the world that is taking place. I can point to the Libya being an abject failure of what has taken place, and with Hillary Clinton being the Secretary of State and so forth. I have no idea what she is building this highly qualified pro-choice candidacy of Hillary Clinton on. You know, it's just it's empty words. There is no highly qualified. If the email scandal showed you anything, at the very least, if you just believe the basic facts of it, you see that she played loose and, you know, with the emails, and she couldn't be trusted with sensitive information to have her own server in the basement and so forth. That's this highly competent individual that we're talking about. So right there, it's just ridiculous on its surface. And then she is making the case, as I pointed out, that she can do this because of the redefining the term pro-life. She continues in the article to say this. In the 8 years since we have had a pro-choice president, the abortion rate in the U.S. has dropped to its lowest since 1973. But that doesn't have anything. Let me interject here again. That has nothing to do with Barack Obama being president. That has to do with all the pro-life activity that has taken place in opposition to what he was doing. I mean, man, have you not seen him stand up and defend Planned Parenthood as they were butchering these children for money? You know, where are you coming from here? She, you know, just ties these two statistics together. You know, statistics can be funny things. I saw one time somebody give a statistic that the rate of drowning victims had increased in a certain county, and at the same time they then listed the consumption of Kool-Aid had gone up at the very same time, and the connection between the two was people were drowning in Kool-Aid. And of course there was no actual connection between the two statistics, and that's what she's doing here. She's saying that since the pro-choice president has been in, you know, that his policies have caused the abortion rate to drop. Oh, really? Really? What about the Democratic-controlled areas like Chicago, you know, and these types of areas? Has it dropped there? What about in the black community that has primarily embraced, you know, the policies of the president and his administration? Has it dropped there, really? I don't think so. Evans doesn't know the facts. You know, she just, glibly tying together a couple of statements, but the reason why it has dropped is because of the relentless effort of pro-life Christians across the country that have enacted different legislative agenda that has, you know, caused things like ultrasound to be there and so forth. I believe the best way, she says in the article, to keep this trend going is not to simply make it harder for women to terminate unwanted pregnancies, but to create a culture with fewer unwanted pregnancies to begin with. So even though I think abortion is morally wrong in most cases, she says, and support more legal restrictions around it, I often vote for pro-choice candidates when I think their policies will do more to address the health and the economic concerns that drive women to get abortions in the first place. Well, Rachel, I don't think you have ever actually been to an abortion clinic and see the type of women that go in. The only reason that women go in are not because of economic reasons. There are many of other reasons that they go in as well. And sometimes it's just because of their desire for convenience, that it was an unwanted pregnancy and it has nothing to do with their economic factor at all. And first of all, then I would say, now, what sort of programs and policies are you talking about that have been such a great success in the Obama administration or the Progressive Party's administration? Really? Those classes maybe that in kindergarten that have been, telling our children that it doesn't matter, that they could be either gender and so forth. Are those the great social programs that have been enacted by the president? The changing of the bathrooms, you know, where now transgender people are to be embraced and, you know, these types of things. Are these great programs that you're pointing to here that have helped out so much? How about the crisis pregnancy centers that have been there, willing to pay for the woman to have the birth of the child and to pay for the associated costs and so forth that are associated with it? What about those things? Those have been the cause. You know, you don't have to, there's no economic obstacle to women having abortion these days. They can, there are facilities that are now available for her to be able to do that, to have the child and then have somebody to pay for it and to help her put it up for adoption or to, you know, send her to the classes. All of that has already been taken care of, but she just seems to gloss over that and highlight, you know, these wonderful government programs that are out there now for mothers. And if we just keep that up, that's all that's really necessary. You know that this has been an actual objection for a long period of time. Scott Klusendorf, in his excellent book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture, he has a chapter on this, chapter 12. He says that how to overcome this objection, the single issue objection, pro-lifers should broaden their focus. See, that's what they're trying to do. Pro-life needs to mean more than just saving the life of the baby. It's got to be that we need to be involved in all of these other Democratic-sponsored issues of life. He says this in the subtitle: how does it follow that because pro-life advocates oppose the unjust killing of innocent human beings, they must therefore take personal responsibility for solving all of life's ills? Speaking at a pro-life convention in Alberta, a local cleric chastised pro-lifers for focusing too narrowly on abortion when they ought to consider broader life issues such as occupational safety, AIDS, poverty, and capital punishment. The result, the cleric said, was a fractured Christian witness that hurts the cause. The cleric is typical of many of the political left who insist that because pro-life advocates oppose the willful destruction of innocent human being, they must therefore assume responsibility for all of society's other ills. In other words, you are not truly pro-life unless you treat the deforestation of the Amazon with the same moral intensity that you do the unjust killing of the human fetus. This is careless thinking and highly unfair to those that have taken abortion seriously. Imagine the gall of saying to the Canadian Cancer Society, you have no right to focus on curing cancer unless you also work to cure AIDS and heart disease and diabetes. Or try telling the American Heart Association, you cannot reasonably oppose cardiac arrest unless you also fund research aimed at stopping all loss of life. Ridiculous indeed, but how is this any different from what is this cleric told pro-lifer advocates? Consider what he is demanding. Local pro-life groups must take their already scarce resources and spread them even thinner, fighting every social injustice imaginable. This would be suicide to those that oppose for those opposed to abortion. As Frederick the Great once allegedly said, "He who attacks everywhere attacks nowhere." Contrary to what some think, the abortion debate is not principally about poverty, capital punishment, the redistribution of wealth, or the protection of the environment. It is about one issue. What is the unborn? The answer to that question trumps all other considerations. You know, he's got an excellent section in the beginning of the book that he says, philosophically, there is no moral significant difference between embryo you once were and the adult you are today. As Stephen Schwartz points out, using the acronym SLED, differences in size, level of development, environment, and degree of dependency are not relevant in the way that abortion advocates want them to be or need them to be. So here's what we see in this argument. They're trying to blunt the force of the argument that says there's no way that you could vote for Hillary Clinton because she is pro-abortion, and a Clinton pregnancy will expand abortion tremendously by removing the Hyde Amendment that stopped tax dollars from being used for abortion. The Democratic Party in their platform has called for the end of that. It's called for the funding of that. Also, it will also remove the idea of the abortion restrictions or the restriction on funding for abortion for other countries and so forth. The Democratic Party with Hillary Clinton at the head of it would be much, much, much more detrimental to the life of babies than a Trump candidacy or Trump presidency would be. There's no doubt about that. And we need to stand up and argue that way and stop this idea of trying to diffuse that argument by changing what it really means to be pro-life. Pro-life first and foremost means the life of the child in the womb, protecting that life. Afterwards, we care about some of those other social issues, and we talk about those things as well. But first and foremost, what good are those other social issues if the very first right is taken away from a person, the right to life, from, you know, at the very moment of conception in the womb? And so I stand up boldly and strongly against Rachel Held Evans and say that this is completely wrong. We need to oppose her, expose what she's doing, and oppose her in the strongest possible terms. Remember, Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.